Hey, everybody out there listening, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you guys are the best. Booster Club for life. If you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a 5-star review because that helps out in the scientific algorithm and all the other stuff we're not smart enough to understand.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Monday edition of Crane & Company. We are not in the studio. Obviously, we're going to be back in there tomorrow. Jordan Peterson and Elon Musk are going live right now on the Daily Wire. So that's why we are here. And I want to start before I bring in my two glorious co-hosts, David Cohn and Blaine Crane. I want to start by telling everyone I am legitimately worried about the future of the ACC. Not even who's going to be in there, but if it will even be a thing 3 years from now. And it's for two reasons. And you know, Mark Twain used to say history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. Reason one, every time we have heard a whisper about the incoming doom of a conference or conference realignment in general, it has come to fruition. I remember when there were whispers that Texas and Oklahoma may leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC, and everybody said, no, there's no chance of that happening. Texas and Oklahoma are the Big 12. Well, I just left Dallas last week at SEC Media Days. We heard whispers, oh, the Pac-12, they may be collapsing. They may be evaporating. They may be dissolving. And people said, no, there's too much tradition in the Pac-12 with USC and UCLA and Oregon and all these teams. Well, there is no more Pac-12. And now for a while, we have heard whispers about some teams in the ACC wanting to defect because of a media deal or this or that. And if history is going to even rhyme in any sense, that means that the ACC is in big trouble. The second reason, let's run this ground ball out. Let's say that Florida State and Clemson and, I don't know, maybe North Carolina or Virginia are really three of the four top dogs, because it's not just Florida State and Clemson that want to get out. Don't confuse that. I can promise you I've talked to people within programs there, the highest level programs in the Atlantic Coast Conference, that want out. If that happens, people say, oh, well, the Big 12 was able to survive. Well, the Big 12 had options. You had Utah. You had Colorado. You had Arizona. You had Arizona State. We are running out of teams to supplement the loss of your top teams. If you're the ACC and you lose these top dogs, who are you going to go get? Not anybody that's going to make it tenable. You're going to go get Boise State. You're going to go get Memphis. You're going to go get Fresno State. Obviously, geography doesn't matter, so you can scan the United States for a team, but there's not enough top dogs left for you to be able to sustain more than 2 or 3 years. So, you know, the talk is kind of dying down. Well, Florida State and Clemson aren't going to stay in the ACC. I'm telling you right now, my friends, I can borderline promise you that the Atlantic Coast Conference has turned in the Titanic. All right, it's pretty much already hit the iceberg, or it's going to hit the iceberg. And it always starts with a whisper, just like a flood always starts with a couple raindrops. And on that note, we want to know what you think. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button. I'm going to bring in my co-host, former Michigan quarterback David Cohn, my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane. We're not taking live calls today. We will tomorrow when we're back in the studio. As I mentioned before, we're not in the studio today. We will be tomorrow. Gentlemen, what is up?
I'm in the studio.
Yeah, what's up? Blaine's in the studio, but we don't have that.
Yeah, my Wi-Fi is not working at the apartment complex. I'm not super stoked about that, to be honest.
Well, David, I want to start with you. I mean, again, and I don't mean to be doom and gloom, and I hope this does not happen. I hope somehow there is a way for the powers to be to let this tamp down and the ACC to continue to be the ACC. But I'm looking back on the past, and we want to know what you guys think about it in the chat as well. But and I'm really worried about the ACC, David. Please tell me why I should or shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, you can't feel great right now when you're in four different open lawsuits with your two biggest brands. I mean, the ACC is suing Florida State and Clemson, and the ACC is getting sued by Florida State and Clemson. And to be honest with you, like, there's still a conference, probably only by the grace of signing a solid deal with those grant of rights in the last contract. Now, keep in mind the current commissioner didn't sign that deal, so he inherited that. But, you know, that goes all the way through 2036, I believe it is. You can't feel great when you're in an open lawsuit with two of the biggest brands in your conference. At the same time, I keep thinking, okay, well, what about college football generally? I mean, yeah, we may have something that is called the Southeastern Conference or the Big Ten Conference for many years to come, but college football writ large is changing so significantly that I don't even know if we're going to have these conferences anymore the way that we're talking about them right now. Certainly, that's a bet that the Big 12 is gambling on. Like you talked about the other day, Jake, the Big 12 seems to be like, hey, we don't need to be the fastest runner. We just need to outrun the last conferences that go by the wayside and wait out the next big transformation that comes. I don't know if that's going to come via private equity with a lot of money coming in and saying, hey, we're just going to take the top 50 programs and let the others fall by the wayside, or if that's going to come with a falling off of the NCAA. I'm not sure. And keep in mind that we're talking about more than just football here. So when you talk about the ACC, you got North Carolina and you got Duke and Syracuse and very proud basketball programs. And then the last thing my mind goes to is Notre Dame. You know, I mean, Notre Dame has been proudly independent, which is looking like a better and better decision as we see all this conference drama play out. But over COVID, they did align themselves most closely with the ACC. Does Notre Dame throw some sort of, you know, life raft to the ACC as a conference and sort of save them? But it's not a good situation sit here right now.
No, Blaine. And I mean, if you're Notre Dame, why would you throw the life raft to the ACC? I mean, I wouldn't have built up all that equity and waited and waited and waited, knowing we're probably going to maybe two different super leagues or one super league. We'll see how it shakes out, but they don't have to do anything. And if you get a bunch of top teams leaving the ACC, they wouldn't jump into the ACC being that way. What were they going to go in there even with their contract and get into that mess? I don't see that happening. But when you look around the rest of college football, I mean, conference names don't matter anymore. The Big 12 has more than 12 teams. The Big 10 has more than 10 teams. The Atlantic Coast Conference has a team from Texas and two from the West Coast. Outside of the Southeastern Conference, and you could even make an argument having Texas and Oklahoma, who are teams that are in, you know, the Southwest or Midwest, you could say, depending on how you're looking at it. Conference names really don't matter anymore. But again, I just don't see a way in which the ACC can supplement themselves the way the Big 12 did, because the Big 12 and the Big 10, I guess, to a certain extent, took all the teams that could keep you afloat. Hell, SMU said, don't even pay us any media money at the beginning. We'll basically pay our own way. We'll be walk-ons in the conference. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem sustainable with the track record that we've seen.
Yeah, a couple things here. First, it's 2024, guys. Are we surprised nothing feels real? So when it comes to teams and conferences, names, it doesn't matter. Two, if I'm Notre Dame, I don't watch the Titanic hit an iceberg, then look at my buddy and say, hey, let's go get on that ship.
Yeah,
I'm not that guy. Three, this is nothing new for the ACC. This isn't new news. The ACC has been cooked since they didn't let Florida State in the playoff. All right? They don't even respect your top dog. The toppest dog you have, the two best tiers in the ACC have been what? Clemson State. And Miami's been what? Looking up. Miami's on the rise. Miami's going to be a dangerous team, obviously. But your top dog, Florida State, went undefeated, and you still didn't get in even with Jordan Travis getting hurt. I don't think anybody thinks they're a real conference anyways. The ACC is cooked. It's over. It's gone. It's a floozy. Matthew McConaughey, a woozy wazzy. I wouldn't be surprised if it's gone in 2 years.
Yeah, again, I mean, with the I love the Matthew McConaughey reference. And Blaine, I do want to get to the chat to see what they think here in a second. But again, I don't take any joy in saying this. I'm kind of like David. I'm old school. You know, I grew up with the old ACC and the old SEC and seeing a conference not only realign, that's one thing, but go down the way the Pac-12 did. It's not a great thing, and we can sit here and talk about the way that the Pac-12 did, the Pac-12 network and all these bad decisions that they made, but even the way that the ACC has done it, I don't think it's going to save them, but I want to see what the chat has to say.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate, it's on topic, it will get read. We're going to start off with Optimus Climb. What a name. Says the ACC has been as senile as Sleepy Joe for years now. I wouldn't be surprised if they got two left.
Yeah, I mean, again, trying to put a number on it is tough, but this seems to happen in a vacuum, and it seems to happen fast. So, has the ACC, and again, we do have to separate, right? You know, football and baseball. Just, I mean, you look at what happened in the College World Series. It was basically the ACC and SEC Invitational. You look at what happens with basketball, with some of the top teams that do come out of the ACC. But having said all that, none of that saved the Pac-12. Now, I don't think the Pac-12 – had as much to leverage or as much to bargain as the ACC does. And geography does matter when you look at recruiting and certain situations like that. But again, it's tough to look at. But if we think we're heading where all of us pretty much assume we're heading for this one Super League that's cut in half or whatever, it just doesn't seem to me like the ACC, with what they're going through, that they could fight that with both hands, let alone one hand tied behind their back with the lawsuits and stuff that we're seeing there.
I was going to Brian Hall. Brian, hello.
I think Blaine made such an important point.
Go ahead, Dad.
Blaine, I thought you made such an important point with the college football playoff aspect of this, because like, I grew up a Florida State fan. It was right there near South Georgia, near my hometown. I mean, Florida State's won 3 national championships in my lifetime, 3 Heisman Trophy winners in my lifetime. It's a blue blood college football program. If they can go undefeated and still not get in the college football playoff, that is almost worse than the lawsuits that they're involved with. And we can sit here and say now, well, oh, their quarterback was hurt, or it wouldn't have been a good game. It would have never happened in the SEC. Wouldn't have happened in the Big Ten either. An undefeated team, yeah, that almost bodes even worse than the lawsuits they're engaged in.
No, and I agree with that. And before people say, oh, well, Georgia got left out. Well, yeah, Georgia got left out for Alabama. So it wasn't like they were choosing between one SEC team and then another conference. Well, they were having lost. To choose between, yeah, 2 SEC teams, yeah, that just so happened to play each other in the conference championship game. So Blaine, that was a pretty salient point. I'll give you that one.
All right. I love both of y'all giving me compliments. This is great. Let's go to Elon Musk is your daddy. He says, wow, everyone talking about the ACC disappearing while the Pac-2 lost almost every team and is gone.
Yeah, that's, again, precedent. We've seen this movie before. This just may be the sequel, and it may have a little bit of a different plot, but it's going to end the same. I think the ACC is literally on a death march right now, and it started when you started to hear the rumblings from the people that bring in the most money. These aren't some middle of the pack programs in the ACC that are upset about some language in a contract. These are your big breadwinners, right? It's just like when we see in college football coaching. When the boosters start to have a problem and the money dries up, you're cooked. The head coach is fired. We see it in politics. When the candidate has the money dry up and the big donors start not believing in you, you're cooked. Step aside. Here's the next person. So when your top dogs, your money makers, your show ponies start to get upset, that's when the whole house of cards falls down around them, because they've been lifting it up for so long. And when you look at the revenue generated and who does create that surplus or whatever you want to call it, it is the teams that are the most pissed off at you, to the point of trying to run away from you so fast you're having to get lawyers involved.
So, Jake, let me ask you this then, okay, because you were talking about, hey, if the ACC loses its biggest brands the way the Big 12 did 2 years ago, there aren't enough teams now for them to make up with that, to replace them as a conference, right? So yes. if the ACC collapses as a conference, where can all those programs run to now? I mean, yes, any conference, right? Right now would take Florida State or Clemson or possibly even Miami. That's just my opinion, just because I think they add so much value. But for a lot of these teams, when you start looking at Virginia or Virginia Tech or Syracuse, you know, what conferences do those schools then just have to be independent if the ACC collapses? Because this isn't a quantity is better than quality. If you're the Big Ten or the SEC, if you add all of these teams from the ACC, you're going to end up watering down your scheduling. That doesn't guarantee that you're going to get $60 million a year for each school with your next contract.
Yeah, well, every orphan doesn't get adopted. Look at Washington State and Oregon State right now. They were just left to go. Y'all can call yourself the Pac-2. You know, you're not going to go to any of these top conferences. There's nothing that says that a conference has to take teams from a conference that has dissolved. Now, the top ones will find a place. And the funniest part is, and maybe the most ironic thing, is that the Big 12 may take some of those top teams, as we have heard about over the last couple weeks. But when it comes down to like Wake Forest and Boston College and some of these other teams, we already have precedent that not everybody finds a home, right? Again, use the Oregon State and Washington State example. And Oregon State and Washington State, I would say, are in better spots than some of the teams in the ACC. So while the top ones will go somewhere, right, that they will find a home, whether that's the Big 12. And look, all these commissioners right now could say, we're not taking any more teams. We're at full capacity. If there is an option for them to bring in a team that is going to behoove the conference, that is going to make the conference more money, that is going to make the conference better, Their job is to not turn that down. Their job is to increase the profits of the conference. And if they feel like they can do that, then they can. But we've already seen the option to say, no, listen, I'm sorry. There is no home for you. You're just not attractive and smart enough.
All right, let's go to Kennedy. What's up, Kennedy? If the ACC goes down, does SMU buying themselves into the ACC go down as a terrible decision?
No, because look, SMU's got way more money than I think a lot of people understand. I think SMU would be able to be fine operating as an independent. I feel like they were just kind of playing with house money, right? Like, you know, somebody told you a job was open at a place you didn't expect you'd get one, even if it may be entry level, even if you got to pay your own way for the first couple years. And they took it. It's to me, they're playing with house money, and we're going to get to them. It's them, Florida State, and Georgia Tech today at ACC Media Days. And I'm telling you right now, SMU, the more I look at them, the more I see the way this program is made up, the more I see that the resources and the potential to have elite level resources and operation system and be able to afford everything you have to be able to operate in a big space, the more attractive SMU becomes to me. So I actually want to give credit to the ACC for kind of identifying them. Now, Cal and Stanford, we can argue that one out, right? But looking at SMU, I think they may be a sleeper not only on the field, but off the field as well. And keeping Rhett Lashley is going to be an important piece of that. All right, one more, Blaine.
All right, let's go to Chad. Chad, what's up, brother? As a lifelong Notre Dame football fanatic, I truly believe the ACC folds in 3 to 5 years and the Irish won't join the Big 12 or SEC. They won't start an independent league. Big 10 will be the play.
Well, again, look, and this is where Jack Swarbrick and all the Notre Dame people look really, really smart. Because at first, when we saw the 12-team playoff guidelines come out, right, it's going to be the top five power or the top five ranked conferences. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins that championship game gets an automatic bid. The top four, which will be the Big 12, the ACC, the Big 10, and the SEC, they will get a bye. Well, you say, oh, man, well, then Notre Dame can't get a bye. Well, let me run this scenario at you. Yes, they do. If Notre Dame does what they have to do to get in a large bid in the 12-team playoff, they don't have a conference championship game, right? I would rather take a bye having to play maybe a Georgia if I'm Alabama or an Oregon if I'm Ohio State or any of these top teams as opposed to having to play a first-round playoff game, which Notre Dame would most likely get to host. So not only do you have a built-in bye within that schedule – you have a built-in bye with no conference championship game. Plus, your next game is going to be at home. They kind of got the best of the both worlds. You don't have to win an extra game. You just have to play one extra playoff game. And depending on where you're seated, that'll probably be a team that you're better than, and you get them at home. So I think Notre Dame right now is sitting there with that NBC contract. They got more money than God anyway. So I think they're actually in the catbird seat when we really look at it. I lied, Blaine. Give me one more. I'm loving the chat today. No calls. I'm going to live in
the chat. That's not the reasoning. No, that's not the reasoning for Notre Dame's decision. It's like, oh, if we do this, we won't have to play the conference championship.
It is exactly.
It is a great symptom. And we keep talking about this, this super league that may come along or multiple super leagues that then have one championship. I mean, the 12-team playoff that you just mentioned is indicative of what that's going to look like, because Notre Dame didn't get left out. Actually, they're the only team named by name in that language, right? So all these power conferences get an automatic bid, plus Notre Dame, right? And you have all these athletic directors, plus Notre Dame's athletic director. So they're telling you, like, look, Notre Dame as a brand is not getting left out of whatever the future of college football is, conference or no conference, super league or no super league. They have entrenched themselves in that. So right now they're kind of just playing with house money.
For sure.
All right, let's go to JWC. What's up, brother? So do you think Rhett Lashley will get signed to a bigger job next year if SMU falls out?
Well, that's a great segue into our SMU preview. Here's what I'll say about Rhett Lashley. I think Rhett Lashley right now is one of the most underrated or least talked about viable head coaches to get that next big job, maybe in the SEC or maybe in the ACC. You look at Arkansas right now. He's got ties back going all the way to playing for Gus Malzahn at Shiloh or wherever that little school was, or not little school, wherever the high school was in Arkansas. So again, he has ground roots there. He knows the lay of the land. The question I think becomes for Rhett Lashley, if you have an excellent season this year, right, and everything's status quo with the ACC, which we'll find out, SMU's got enough money to pay you just about as much as anybody. Why would you want to leave a perfect spot where you can be viewed as the coach that brought them to their highest level. You know, we can go back and look at the Pony Express with Craig James and all them, and that's great. We know them mostly because of the death penalty, not because of the on-the-field stuff. So Rhett Lashley has a chance to become a legend at a place that has entrenched itself in a power conference for now that can pay him the amount of money that other places can pay him, and he will have full control, right? He will understand the way that the apparatus operates. He will be the top of the top. Not saying that he wouldn't be at Arkansas, but you would leave a place that can pay you where you're under less pressure, right, because you've proven it, going to a place that is going to expect results now in a conference that just added Texas and Oklahoma that can be viewed as rivals of the place, if it is Arkansas, that you end up. So the question becomes, do you want to, in your whole come up, being under Gus Malzahn and seeing Gus Malzahn rise up and go to the SEC, which is, you know, the best conference that there is, the top of the top, right? Even if there's an argument between the Big Ten, would you be willing to leave your comfortable, rich palace to maybe live in a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more rich palace? I don't know, but I think he should definitely get the first call, let's say, if Sam Pittman wasn't able to do what we hope he can do and don't think he can do for Arkansas this year. But I tell you what you can do. If you like to bet on sports, all right, like us, and we're going to give our bets at the end of the show. We don't have the Bet Online Jumbotron behind us today in the studio. We will tomorrow. You need to check out betonline.ag. They're the best sports book around. We've used all of them. We've used DraftKings. We've used FanDuel. We've gone through the gamut. When you go to betonline.ag, the website's easy to navigate. They've got odds on literally everything, and not just sports, on politics as well. And believe me, you probably put some money down on some politics stuff right now and maybe get a good return on your investment. But it's easy to get payouts. They give you multiple ways to get paid out. As somebody who's won a decent amount of money, I like to be able to get paid out in the way that I want, in a way that's fast and in the way that's secure. So go to betonline.ag today to place your bets. And if you use promo code Booster, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, you get a 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250. That's betonline.ag. Use promo code Booster, betonline.ag, where the options are endless. And so is the fun. All right, Blaine, let's go SMU first. Y'all want to go SMU first?
Sketchy. Your boy got the sketchy right here.
I know you got the schedule, but I want to say this about SMU, because I'm telling you, like all of you out there, right, and we cover all the sports. We're sports junkies. I've been looking in this SMU team for a while because I think they're really sneaky. And not sneaky to win a national championship, but sneaky to contend and possibly play and possibly win the ACC. And before you say, Jake, whoa, ho, 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 it's SMU. We got Florida State, Clemson, all this other stuff. Let me tell you the makeup of this team. You got a quarterback in Preston Stone, who I believe in, right? He had really good numbers last year. You had a backup quarterback that came in and won some huge games in his stead when he was hurt. And you've got pieces all around. You got good wide receivers. You added Rashard Smith, I believe, from Miami to that backfield to give you guys a little more explosive. But when I look at SMU this season, it's going to come down to what it always comes down to. And I know I talk about this ad nauseum, but it's the truth. You want to win the water cooler, I'm going to give you the damn keys. It's up front, right? SMU went to the portal to try and supplant themselves on offense and defense. A defense, guys, that finished, I believe, in the top 15 in points given up per game last year on defense, which is the best stat that there is on defense because that's the only thing that matters. They had to kind of reshape. They lost three guys to graduation or to attrition last year on the offensive line. If they can replace them and just be good enough, they don't have to be elite, right? And then on defense, be able to replace those guys up front and just be good enough. They got an edge rusher that's really talented as well. I'm telling you, when we go through this schedule, do not think of this SMU team as Cal or Stanford. They are not. They have an identity. They have a head coach that knows what he's doing in a system that is set up to their personnel. The last question is, and I like the additions they had through the portal, if those guys can come through, when Blaine reads the schedule, I'm telling you, do not sleep on SMU, especially with what else is going on in the ACC, which we're obviously going to cover.
Okay, schedule. But before I say that, I will say this. SMU last year 0-3 against Power 4 teams. Last 10 games are 1-9 versus Power 4 teams. All right, schedule
trends
right
are meant
now.
To be broken.
All right, week one, you're at Nevada. That I believe should be a win. Houston Christian coming to town. Look, we'll all pray together. We'll see how it goes. At home, BYU. Then you got at home, TCU. At home, Florida State. On the road at Louisville. On the road at Stanford. On the road at Duke. The Fighting Pittsburgh boys at home. Yeah, Boston College at home, at Virginia, and Cal at home. You miss a lot. No Miami, no North Carolina, no NC State, no Virginia Tech. I mean,
David, look at the road schedule. It's Louisville, right? I mean, it's really just Louisville. Mm-hmm. Who else do you see on there? And you can drop one and still be fine, I believe, especially this year in the ACC. So please tell me why I would be stupid to sprinkle a little bit on SMU, not only representing the ACC in the conference championship game, but possibly winning. I think they may have the best schedule in the league.
Especially the back end of that, man. I mean, when you look, you're ending with, you know, Pittsburgh, Boston College, both at home, at Virginia, and then Cal at home. I don't know what else you could ask for. Like you said, Louisville on the road. That's going to be a tough one. You get Florida State at home, though. Yep. What a gift. And not just from a football perspective, but think about that. I mean, your first year in the conference, and you get to have the defending conference champion come to you. That's going to be a lot of fun. So the question is, hey, what does Duke look like a year after Mike Elko leaves, right? You got to go on the road and play Duke. You know, Virginia is a very proud football program. You got to go on the road and play UVA. What are they going to look like this year? And then obviously, you know, BYU, TCU. I mean, Sonny Dykes is trying to get TCU back to where they were when they played in the national championship. So there's some games out there where you're like, hey, we'll see what happens. But that's as favorable as you can ask for first year coming into a power conference.
Yeah. And again, go ahead, Blaine. Go ahead.
I think you look at the schedule. First of all, this SMU team hasn't seen, I mean, they're about to play 10 Power Four teams. All right, that we're really about to find out what SMU is. I like the point you brought up, Jake. You're going to win up front in the ACC. That's how things work. But, like, right now, I mean, if you're SMU, what would you put the ceiling on wins? What do you think this season a good number would be, a total wins? 8.5, 7.5, 6.5?
Dude, I think anything over 8, what SMU people would be happy. But I'm telling you, when I look at the personnel, I look at the coaching staff, they're going to be year one in the ACC, right? Which means a lot of these teams haven't played them, which to me, the advantage goes to the newcomer coming in, right? I think that's where the advantage goes year one. We've seen that time over time. But there is no reason with that schedule that SMU can't win double-digit games, right? Let's say you lose to Florida State and Louisville. You're probably going to be favored in every other game that you play in, and most of those are at home, including Florida State. And I'm telling you right now, I love Mike Norvell. He's the Cesar Milan of quarterback whispers, and we're going to get into Florida State. But I don't trust Florida State in some very important places. So, again, another key part of this is nobody's going to be talking about SMU. They're going to be talking about Florida State. They're going to be talking about Clemson. They're going to be talking about Miami. Will Pry at Virginia Tech figure it out? Right? We'll go through all these lists, and SMU will kind of be a footnote, which means that they can be sneaky, but Rhett Lashley can use that as a chip on the shoulder type mentality. And hey, when we walk into the prison, we need to go punch the biggest guy. And that's going to be Florida State week 5 at home. So I caution our audience. I caution college football fans. When you are making predictions and you are making projections and you are betting and you're trying to get some bang for your buck, you went to betonline.ag, you typed in promo code Booster, you use that 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250. Do not overlook SMU, because they could not only wreck the party, they could end up hosting the party.
I will say
this. 8.5 right now.
Yeah, 8.5.
8.5 over under wins.
Smash that over. I would put I'm going to, when we get off here. I didn't realize it was 8.5. I thought it was 9.5.
I mean,
it's 8.5. I'm smashing the over.
SMU last year, I believe, was a top 15 team in the portal. And if anything, going to the ACC, if you're SMU, it's only going to help high school recruiting, especially if you get in there in the first year and you do better than expectations. And the only thing now hurting SMU is high school recruiting, I would say.
Yeah, well, again, what are the things that are hardest to accomplish right now in college athletics in general, but in college football? Stability. Familiarity. SMU has all that. Yes, they're going to a new conference, but you got the most important guys at the most important positions about the same. You did well, at least, you know, on paper, and we'll see how that comes to fruition in the portal. But Blaine, I want you to read those first 5 games on that schedule one more time before we go to the chat. Just read the first 5 on there one more time.
All right, yeah. Nevada on the road, Houston Christian at home, BYU at home, TCU at home, Florida State at home.
So you have time to not only get those new guys up front acclimated, but you have time to build up your resume against some quality teams, but no elite team as you get ready to host Florida State. BYU got a lot of respect for them. I always say, you know, if I don't want to schedule a team that plays for a university based on a religion, because nobody fights harder than longer than those guys, but you're at Southern Methodist University. You can fight fire with fire. TCU, yeah, they fell off a cliff last year with Sonny Dykes after making the college football playoff and beating Michigan, but it's still TCU, and you should beat Houston Christian to death. And then we'll see, you know, how bad. I think they're a 24-point favorite over Nevada right now. So you have time to get
24 and a half right now.
Yeah, you got time to get everybody ready. You got time to get everybody right. And you got a time to build some confidence off of what you did last year going into what could be a season definer against a Florida State team that lost a lot coming off a team that was damn good last
year. So do you think SMU can compete with Florida State, Clemson, and Miami up front?
Yeah, but they don't have – but yes, well – they don't have to. They have to really compete with Florida State. They've got to compete with Louisville. Now, when you get to the conference championship game, I think you're playing with house money if you're SMU, right? You're not going to sit there and be disappointed. Damn, you know, we went 9-3 and lost the conference championship game to Clemson. But, guys, let's not act like Clemson and Miami are all that in a bag of potato chips right now. We still got to see. I know we're going to get into it. They're more talented, right, in a lot of spots than SMU is. But there's some new pieces that they've got to work out, and SMU doesn't have to see two out of those three teams in the regular season, which means you have a chance to probably be healthier going into the conference championship game than a lot of these teams that you're going to see this kind of carnage go up against.
All right, let's get to the chat. Let's go to Joe C. Joe, what's up, brother? SMU Stadium is a joke. I've heard the plumbing doesn't work and they ran out of water in the concession stands. I don't know if they'll be ready for the ACC.
Well, if you need water, then go to the toilets that don't work. Maybe the water's still in there. Listen, I'm not where... Again, nobody's claiming that SMU has the greatest facilities of all time. Nobody said that. But you know how you get better facilities? When you know you got people that have money, you win. And you win in a power conference. As long as the ACC is still here, they'll have people lining up ready to donate and improve on that stadium. And all of a sudden, you're going to look up, and SMU is going to have the Death Star built.
Got this water from a glacier in Antarctica. All right, let's go to Ron Elite. Ron, what's up, brother? Says SMU is the only program that could take a partial from the SEC and become the 25th member. They didn't sign a GOR. They're free.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens down the road, you know, when we get into, you know, again, the one super league that may be split between the Big Ten and the SEC, or if they rename it ESPN and Fox. I'm telling you, SMU, they're in a really, really good spot right now because I do think they check all the categories, including the been in a power conference already box. And if they do well, they're just going to get better looking and better looking. It's, you know, it's just one of those situations where some schools have a chance to grow into that role and other ones have a ceiling. I think SMU has a chance to grow into it.
All right, let's go to Michael P. Michael, what's up, brother? He says, if Rhett Lashley wins 9 games, you can go ahead and kiss that man goodbye.
You possibly could, again. But yeah. The market, you can only take jobs that are open, right? So, you know, Arkansas might be open. Florida could possibly be open. There's a couple others, you know, outside of the Southeastern Conference that are pretty interesting. But when you look in aggregate, and David, you know, I'll kick this to you, there really isn't that many guys that are on the hot seat going into this year, I think, because we've had so much turnover the last 3 to 4 years at some of the major places. You know, I don't look across the map at college football and say, God, there's just open jobs that are going to be everywhere.
Yeah, well, and when I talk to a lot of these ADs and people affiliated with universities, the buyouts, too, are a considerable factor. I mean, they're seeing how much these buyouts cost, and they're thinking, same thing we saw with Sam Pittman last year, right? I mean, we thought Sam Pittman's performance last year probably warranted him being fired from Arkansas, but you saw how the buyout dropped down if his overall win total drops below 500%, so he was retained until this next year. And, I mean, speaking about Arkansas, I've heard from several Arkansas fans that would love to see Rhett Lashley be the new head coach. Again, I think we have to see him perform well this first year in the ACC. I don't know how many wins that is, but like Blaine said, you talk about 9 wins. That's an incredible season for SMU coming into the ACC. Yeah. I don't care who you're beating or whatever. You win 9 games, that'd be unbelievable.
For sure.
I mean, why go get Rhett Lashley when you got Bobby P on staff, baby? All right, let's go to the bro counselor, also known as a council of bros. says, do you think SMU is a college football playoff candidate going to the new conference this year?
Yeah, I do, because I think they could win the conference. Not only, and this is where we get into the debate of, all right, let's break down the math, right? You have 12 teams that can get in. Let's just make the assumption, all right, just to make it as hard as possible, that Notre Dame takes one of those at large spots, right? They can't take one of the five automatic bids. They can't get one of the buys in the playoff, but let's say no, that makes it 11. So then you have five guaranteed spots, right, through the Power Four conferences and then the fifth highest ranked conference. So that's six total teams, which leaves five open spots. Let's say the SEC, all right, gets three teams in, including the conference champion. So that's two more. There's three open spots. The Big Ten is going to get at least probably two, maybe three teams in, which that leaves one spot left. So would that be maybe the runner-up in the ACC? Would that be the runner-up in the Big 12? And that's not even saying the SEC may get four teams or the Big Ten may get four teams. So the spots are very, very limited. And then if Notre Dame doesn't get in, that does open up another spot. So could SMU, right, fill in that role if they don't win the ACC as maybe the last at large to get in? I think they're definitely in the group that could possibly do that when you look at the ACC and the Big 12.
All right, let's go to a
five. I think SMU would either have to win the conference outright and get one of those bids, which that's one good thing about winning the conference now. I mean, we have some metrics where you automatically make the college football playoff, which is pretty awesome. Or if they're going to lose the conference championship, only lose one regular season game, because that would give them two overall losses.
I think
losses.
That would be
– SMU's not making it with three losses.
Like, No. It would have to be 11-1, or you sneak in there with 10-2. And to get in there at 10-2, I think that means Notre Dame didn't get in.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation from Tyler Jarvis. What's up, TJ? What's up, fellas? It's level up day for your boy, level 39. It's my favorite number. No better way to spend it with the best sports show on earth. Go Canes. ACC has 1 year left. No one believes in SMU.
Yeah, and we're going to cover Miami like a fat kid at a Pop-Tart convention when it's their time at Media Day. We still got to get to FSU and Georgia Tech, who just so happens to play each other in Ireland week one. Notice I didn't say week zero, because that's not a thing. But, Tyler, it's your birthday. You know a great way to celebrate your birthday in the morning? It's just waking up to the best cup of coffee that there is. Come on, Black Rifle Coffee. Everybody knows we love Black Rifle Coffee. But we don't always have time to brew coffee in the morning. Sometimes you live in a two-minute drill of a life. Sometimes you got to run a hurry-up offense as a parent, as a business owner, as both. That's why the ready-to-drink coffee from Black Rifle Coffee is perfect for people who need their coffee quickly. They've got great flavors, like Blaine's favorite, Vanilla Bomb, our David's favorite, Salted Caramel, our my favorite, Mocha, and producer Justine's most underrated coffee flavor of all time, Vanilla Caramel. Also, Black Rifle Coffee, it's a veteran-founded coffee company that's operated by principal men and women who honor those who protect, defend, and support our country, and they love our country. And with every purchase, they give back. So stop running out of coffee. Sign up for that coffee club subscription to have it delivered straight to your door on a schedule. Save money. Drink America's coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to view their entire collection of premium roasts from light to extra dark. You can also find Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores near you. That's blackriflecoffee.com. Wake up, people. I don't know why. I just like adding singing jingles to the end.
But
of the
look, we got, I forgot what the singing jingle was, but as long as there's just one jingle, I know we try to push it with two and didn't feel right.
No, like, well, I think if I just do one separate one for each one, and then I don't have to sing every one of them, but I just think it makes people want to buy it more. I don't know. Maybe that's my cross to bear. But David, I do want to kick this over to you, because this next team is fascinating to me because, number one, their fan base is incredible, talking about Florida State's, but there's been a lot of changes throughout this entire Florida State team, except really on the offensive line. So when you're looking at Florida State, and I know Blaine has the schedule pulled up, kind of what are you expecting after you lost? I mean, as a Michigan fan, you know what it's like to lose a bunch. I mean, they lost damn near just as much outside of the coach, Dave.
Yeah, well, you know, what I'm proud of for Florida State is we're only, what, 24 months, even less than that, from talking about Mike Norvell being on the hot seat. You know, people talking about, oh, is Deion Sanders going to be the next head coach? Yeah, in Tallahassee. And then this guy, what he's done the past couple seasons has been truly incredible. Goes undefeated in the ACC. You know, they're proven that they're reloading at these positions. So when they send wide receivers like Keon Coleman off to the NFL, they're reloading. They're getting better up front when they send NFL talent off. I think the fall off at quarterback is going to be larger than what Florida State fans want to see. I'm looking at what Tennessee was 2 years ago to last year. People are going to realize how good Hendon Hooker was when Joe Milton was the starting quarterback. I think you're going to see the same thing. And I hate it because it's going to be 2 years in a row now of, hey, when Jordan Travis went down, that's what kept you out of the college football playoff. Now DJ Uiagalelei, who I would still take DJ Uiagalelei over Joe Milton. I know we've had that conversation on this show before. But I think that, you know, when you start talking about Miami's going to be on the come up with Cam Ward coming out, you're going to have a lot of these teams are going to be tough to beat. You know, I'm not as bullish on Florida State as they were a year ago. Granted, look, it's hard to go undefeated once. It's especially hard to go undefeated back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, and again, you know, you look at this Florida State team, Blaine, and I know you have the schedule pulled up, which it's not an easy schedule. It seems like it really, you know, kind of never is for Florida State, even though the ACC kind of wanes and waxes, but like we see most other conferences. To me, DJU is Joe Milton with a weaker arm and better legs. And I would take him over Joe Milton because I do think he's a better leader, maybe not by a ton, right off the field. You never heard that many problems about Joe Milton, but also his scrambling ability. I think he is more gifted. But when I look at and do comparisons of some of these other quarterbacks that we have questions on, what separates DJU from Drew Aller? What separates DJU from Haynes King? What separates DJU from Avery Johnson at Kansas State? We've watched a ton of DJU. To me, if I see you enough, I'm going to believe you are what you are. And after watching DJU for many years, it feels like he's been in college for 30 years. That's typically what happened when you play and then transfer. I feel like we know who he is. He struggles to make the routine throws routine. Not that he can't throw, or that he's the worst thrower, but I still got to see more of Drew Aller a little bit. I've got to see more of Avery Johnson a little bit. I was shocked by the development that Haynes King made because he was young enough to make it. I just don't know if you can put that nuance into a player when you've played this much, you have that many high efficiency or high pressure snaps, and I've got a good feel about who you are. Sometimes guys just can't locate the off speed, and that's what I feel like DJU is. So the question becomes, how bad does that narrow your ability to find different ways to win? If you're Florida State, you should be a good running team. You got an offensive line that's really experienced. Mm-hmm. We'll see on the outside. When you have to replace that much, there typically is going to be a drop-off, even though Norvell has been magical in the portal. You mentioned Keon Coleman, some other guys. But if you get down and you're Florida State and you've got to throw your way back with new receivers and a quarterback that struggles to do it, how many times are you going to be able to get away with it? Like if you get into a game where maybe the defense, and this happens typically three, maybe four times a year to pretty much every team, maybe the defense isn't playing at a very high clip and the other defense that you're going against, right, is shutting down the run and making DJU beat them through the air. I just have a hard time seeing Florida State finding all these paths to victory by doing the same thing, even if you do evolve the offense to your personnel, which I know Mike Norvell will do, which means get downhill, turn it into a luge contest. I struggle to see it. I struggle to see them being able to win in multiple ways and be elite from a versatility standpoint offensively.
I do agree with you. I think we've seen DJU hit his skill cap. Like we've seen, I don't think DJU is going to get any better. Like, I don't think he's going to find something, but I think Mike Norvell is a guru and has witchy ways of fixing guys. All right. I think from an efficiency standpoint, he can help a lot. Putting DJ in the best situation, whether it's getting creative on play calling, calling plays backwards, mixing up your script a little bit. Is DJ, you going to go out there and win you a game from passing? No, he's not. All right. He's not. That's not who he is. We all know that. It's nothing new. But the difference, in my opinion, is Mark Norvell's really good at his job. And he's really good at fixing quarterbacks, at least putting guys in the right situation at the right time. You're not going to be great on the outside. Your defensive line is going to be young. You're going to be young in a lot of places, but you will be good up front, which is a huge piece for DJU. And I will say this about Mike Norvell and the job that he is doing right now. I wouldn't be surprised. All right. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up being the best team in the ACC.
Well, it's to me, and again, I love Mike Norvell. Right. Nobody's gassed up Florida State and Mike Norvell more than we have, even when people were doubting him. But it's one thing to teach Helen Keller to say water. It's another thing to teach her to be able to run for office. You have to have the capabilities for me to help you reach your full potential. And it's just like being a great play caller. It's like Bobby Petrino at Arkansas. You can be the greatest play caller of all time. But if the personnel isn't good enough, then you can look like an idiot very quick. Not that Mike Norvell is going to look like an idiot, but you started off by saying, do I think DJU can win you games passing the ball? No. Well, that cuts it right in half, because guess what, buddy? You don't play running back, you play quarterback. And if I'm a defense, if I'm Brent Key and I'm Georgia Tech, a team that we're going to get into in a little bit, and we play you week one, you are going to have to – I don't care if I've got to put 35 guys in the box with three senators and two guys that work in the circus at Georgia Tech. I'm going to make you throw the ball to beat me. And I just don't know if time and time again, which that's how people are going to attack Florida State on defense when FSU's on offense, David, if they can make up for that. I really don't see it.
Yeah, here's DJU Ungulale's stats from the last 2 years. So for 2023, 2,600 yards passing, 21 TDs, 7 picks, 57% completion percentage. 2022, 2,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 62% completion percentage. Almost identical, and that's at two different programs there. So to me, and look, I would have killed for those numbers in a couple seasons, right, when I was playing college football. But to me, to win on a significant level with these type of numbers, you have to have pretty much the best defense in the country and an unbelievable run game, right? Like what we've seen Michigan do a year ago, or Georgia the couple years before that. Maybe they're just talented enough at Florida State right now with what Mike Norvell's built that they can just win the conference again with DJ Uiagalelei. But to make the college football playoff and to make a serious run at a national championship, that's where you're going to need him to go toe-to-toe with some of the best quarterbacks in the country.
DJU's not good enough to win a national championship. We all know.
I don't think he is.
I'm saying DJU, if you're down 21, 28 points, DJU's not good enough to throw you back to go win that game.
What if you're down 10? What if you're down 10?
Yes, 10 points against Florida State? Yes.
This
guy's not Helen Keller, all right? He's not the blind and deaf.
No,
he's a little above average quarterback.
What I'm saying is it's impossible to teach Helen Keller to do those things because she's just not capable and doesn't have the tools to do it. So if you're going to try and win the national, because that's where I hold Florida State.
You flew that plane, Jake.
It turns out that was Amelia Earhart. But no, I'm not saying for Florida State to go 9-3 or 8-4. Put the book away.
You say it to her face.
To go 8-4. I'm talking about win a national championship, which is what Florida State fans, even though they got kicked out of the party after winning every game last year, that's what they expect. But so that's where I'm holding the Florida State standard. But nobody's saying DJU's a bad player. He's just not
him. Well, you
called
him Helen Keller.
Yeah, that's not – again, I'm talking about you don't have the ability, right? I don't think he has the ability to be an elite passer. Look at the defense they had at Clemson. Yeah. Just hold on for a second. You remember that defense they had at Clemson when they played JT Daniels and George in that first game? That defense was basically an NFL team running around, and we saw the way that story ended. Just eventually, we always say the two best utilities are fertility and versatility. I hope DJU's got the first. He sure as hell don't got the second.
All right, let's get to the chat. Make sure, guys, y'all hit that like, hit that subscribe button, and you donate if it's on topic. It will get read. Let's go to Bubba P. What's up, Bubba? Could FSU do to DJU what Michigan did to J.J. McCarthy, be a slightly above average quarterback, but have such good talent around him to get the postseason push? I think J.J.'s ceiling was a lot higher than DJ.
Yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy was
slightly above average. Doesn't go 10 overall.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I would say this too.
Didn't he go 10 overall in the NFL draft? We're talking about slightly above average. And that's what I was talking about. If you're going to have the, like, numbers wise, they're comparable. They had the number one rushing attack in the country and the number one defense. They didn't have to throw the ball in the second half against Penn State. That's what I'm saying. If you want to have the same sort of success with DJ Uiagalelei, you need those other things. Is Florida State that talented? I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either. I think that's maybe you could make a comparison on the offensive line a little bit, and that's still a stretch when you look at what Michigan, that may be in the best part of Michigan's team was that offensive line, and then just overall around them. This, if you compare last year's Michigan team to this year's Florida State team, I think Michigan is leaps and bounds better than them overall as a team.
All right, let's go to Young Pablo. What's up, Pablo? I'm a Clemson fan, and I can tell you for a fact DJ is not him. Don't believe me. Look at his season. Look at his season to season stats at Clemson, and look how much he improved last season.
Yeah, and look at Oregon State's schedule, right? I mean, and if you go back and look, even at Clemson, I believe, David, this is a game that we watched together. You take away that Wake Forest game, and those numbers are – and I know you sit here and say, well, take away anybody's best game, but I think it's a drastic fall off from where
the Wake Forest game was incredible. I mean, that's the kind of guy who can win a national championship.
Well, that was
five touchdowns responsible for.
David, that was the five-star coming out of high school everybody thought we were going to see when he went to Clemson. And we've only seen it's like seeing Haley's Comet. You only see a flash of it once, and then there's like just 10 years go by. Like,
and remember that Wake team, they were unbeaten at that point. I mean, that game was crazy. A huge matchup.
That game was crazy.
We haven't listed Florida State's schedule.
Yeah,
let's go
to their schedule. Yeah, let's go.
We got to list their schedule here. They got Georgia Tech, like you talked about, in Ireland, right?
Yeah, to start off.
Isn't that where that first game is?
Yeah, it's in Ireland. And it's I love Georgia Tech plus 13. But Blaine, do you got it?
Yeah, I got it. Let's roll through it right now. Week two, you have Boston College at home.
Win.
Week three, you have Memphis at home. That ain't going to be walking the park. Cal at home. SMU. Clemson at home, at Duke, at Miami, North Carolina at home, at Notre Dame, Charleston Southern home, and then you end the year with them rivals and Billy Napier, Florida Gators at home.
That's tough to me. I mean, that's, again, that Georgia Tech game is not a given, by the way. I know we're going to get into Georgia Tech in a minute before we get to rapid fire. Neither is Memphis. I mean, there isn't – when your non-conference is Memphis, Florida, and Notre Dame – I mean, I don't care what conference you play in. That's going to be tough. That's why I'm sitting here. And again, I've only made one prediction on the year, and that's that Oregon's going to beat Ohio State in the regular season. It is going to be very, very tough, in my opinion. You got Miami on the road. You do play Clemson, and that's just the ACC. I don't see Florida State making the conference championship game or making the playoff. I really don't see it right now. And again, nobody's perfect. Whatever, I just think it's going to be tough. And that's not an indictment on Mike Norvell. This is just part of what happens when you have to replace damn near everybody.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to iBronco in VA. What's up, brother? He says, I woke up at 3 a.m. while in the Middle East. Time to watch DJU do nothing versus Georgia. Florida State might win 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to wake up at 3 p.m. in the afternoon and watch some of the games that DJU's played in the past. And again, I hate to say it, he's a great guy. Like, he's a really good leader. He says all the right things. He's a family guy, and that's awesome. But we say the same thing about Sam Pittman as a coach of Arkansas, right? He's a great guy. I would love to go to Lake Martin with him, right? I'm sure we'd drink a bunch of beers and have a great time. But you got to win games. You got to play good. Like, there's been a lot more people that are bad people that won games or played good that made it a lot further than nice guys that didn't win games and didn't play good. That's just the nature of the beast.
Let me ask you this, Jake. How many do you think games Florida State wins last year with DJU at quarterback?
I don't think they go undefeated. I mean, how much are we sleeping on how good Jordan Travis was, too? You want to know how good he was? His ass was so good when he got hurt they didn't let him in the playoff when they went undefeated. That's how good he was. I think Jordan Travis has a plans – or has a chance to be a pretty good pro too. So I don't think they go undefeated. I don't think they beat LSU. I don't think they beat LSU week one with DJU there at Florida State. I really don't.
All right, let's go to TG. What's up, brother? He says FSU is only catching one loss, and that loss is against Notre Dame. Keep sleeping, boys. Keep sleeping.
Well, I mean, again, we'll see. We'll make a side bet on that. If you want to bet that, I'll take any other record outside of undefeated. If you will take FSU at 11-1, I will bet you $100 right now that they will lose at least two games.
All right, let's go to Malcolm W. Malcolm,
even then, who would they play in the conference championship? I mean, if you lose on the road at Notre Dame and you've beaten everyone else, that means you would beat Miami on the road. That means you would beat Clemson at home. There is no Louisville on their schedule, so that is one bonus. SMU on the road. Who would they play in the conference championship?
I mean, the easiest answer would be, you know, Clemson or Miami, even though they had one loss, right? Would you have two one-loss teams meet to have a rematch? I just, again, I don't see. You better worry about Georgia Tech. Like, that's what I'm just telling. Like, all Florida State fans out there, just hear me. Just hear me. And I know most of you are, because most of you get how this works. That this is not the Georgia Tech of a couple years before last year. Like, this Georgia Tech team is confident. They returned some pieces in very important places. They just hired a brand new defensive coordinator who's going to run a 4-2-5, which I think is the best style of defense that there is schematically, in my opinion, unless you really, really know the 3-3-5 stack, but that's a story for another day. That's a confident Georgia Tech team that does not look at themselves, right, like the short kid with glasses that gets picked last for dodgeball. They are not the Vanderbilt of the SEC. Do not fall into that trap.
All right, let's go to Malcolm. Malcolm, what's up, brother? He says, who's had a bigger rebuild, you think, Michigan or FSU?
Man, that's David, you. I think
Michigan.
Michigan.
Lost because, your coach. I mean – you lost your coach, right? And the entire offensive line, which that was like back-to-back Joe Moore Award winners. So, yeah. You know, when you lose your quarterback, your coach, that's more significant to me.
No. All right, one more, then let's get to Georgia Tech. Schedule? Let's go one more from the chat and then get to Georgia Tech.
Okay, let's go to JW. JW, what's up? Hashtag Ask Kranico. Which week one game you see as a top 25 losing week one? We saw Utah lose to Florida 2 years ago and Clemson losing to Duke last year. Could Florida State maybe be an upset against Georgia Tech?
I think that's that if you know, y'all are like me and you're calling week zero week one, yes. I think that's the most likely. Another game to keep your eye on. And
what about Clemson? Clemson's going to open in the top 25.
Yep, Clemson as well. But watch out for South Dakota State, Oklahoma State. Just watch out for it. Everybody's going to be talking North Dakota State, Colorado, and they should. That's an interesting matchup for Colorado stylistically. It doesn't really fit them well. But South Dakota State is like the new North Dakota State. Okay, don't forget what they've done the past 2 years. And if Oklahoma State, with kind of all these off-the-field issues that they've had, even though we know Wally's going to play, Oklahoma State should be better, right? They should be better. But that don't be shocked if you look up halfway through the third quarter when that Oklahoma State South Dakota State game is a lot closer than what a lot of people think. Just don't be shocked.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation from Jeremy Y. I appreciate it, Jeremy. Did you guys see the ACC surrender football at some point and become a basketball conference and let their schools play football wherever they want?
I mean, that's what the Pac-12 did, right? You know, that's basically what happened over there. I mean, again, this is what makes this so difficult because there's so many different things that have to happen for like a conference to collapse, right? To just totally collapse in every other sport, because it's not just football. You have like, you look at the ACC in basketball and you're like, oh, damn, like that would be a huge loss to lose some of those teams. I mean, look at a team like Syracuse, right? Who I know hadn't been great in a while, but they've got a ton of basketball tradition. So that's the question, man. Like, the schematics of this, it's so messy, but we know at the end of the day, football generates the most money, right? Across the board. It's football, then it's men's basketball, and then some places may generate a little bit of money off college baseball, but most break even or lose money, and then women's sports lose money. That's what they do. It's part of it. I mean, we could sit here and have a, you know, Billie Jean King this thing if y'all want, but women lie, men lie, the numbers don't lie. That's what makes it so interesting and really complicated.
I don't think that's what the Pac-12 did, because Oregon State and Washington State are still a member of the Pac-2.
Well, I'm talking about now. if I think there'd be more teams that have to stay within whatever you want to call the new ACC than the Pac-12, because when I look at the ACC, all right, North Carolina, see that. I would see Clemson. I would see Miami. I would see Florida State. I would see Virginia Tech, right? I would see Virginia possibly. But, I mean, I feel like there's more teams that would be left with nothing, or maybe they have to go independent, or maybe they call themselves still the ACC, than we had in the Pac-12, especially now that so many spots have been taken up by teams in the Pac-12, in the Big Ten, and in the Big 12, and in the ACC, right? Where Cal and Stanford, that was their last-ditch effort, was to go to the ACC.
His comment, wasn't his statement for them to like have basketball still, and then the football teams can go play in whatever conference they want? I mean,
see, I mean,
that's the part of the question that I don't know if that's even possible. So if you're North Carolina or Duke, like if you're North Carolina or Duke, and you're like, all right, we're going to, well, I mean, I guess anything's possible if you want to sign, if the presidents of the university want to agree to that, is like, hey, we'll remain in the ACC to play basketball because all the schools are really strong in basketball, but you have to allow our football program to go, like, do what? Be independent? I mean, is Duke's football program to me isn't going to get picked up by the SEC or the Big Ten or even the Big 12 if you don't bring basketball with
it. For sure. Yeah. That's your leverage. That's all the leverage you have. I mean, look at Syracuse too, honestly. Now, I think Syracuse probably has more of a I guess, and Cuse Mode would know this better than anybody in the chat, but from a football-wise, I feel like more people follow Syracuse than Duke, but they're both basketball schools. I mean, hell, David, North Carolina's a basketball school. Not that we haven't seen them have flashes in football, but, I mean, that's their leverage point, right, is basketball. So it's an interesting question, but let's get to this. Let's get to Georgia Tech here, Blaine.
All right, Georgia Tech's schedule. We're going to start off with Florida State week one over there in Ireland. All right, you have Georgia State week at home, week two. Then you go on the road at Syracuse, VMI at home. Then you go on the road at Louisville, Duke at home. You're on the road at UNC, Notre Dame at home. Going on the road in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech. You have Miami at home, NC State at home. Then you're on the road at Georgia.
I mean, if we're just going to look at the schedule, it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but a lot of those tough games are either a neutral site game, like you have in the beginning with Florida State, and you get Notre Dame at home, you said, Blaine, as well? You get Notre Dame at home?
No, I think that's a neutral site.
Is that a neutral site?
I think that's a neutral site game.
Okay. Yeah. So it's either neutral site, but you do get Miami at home, you said, correct?
Correct.
And then you get to go, you know, play Georgia. Good luck.
Yeah, Miami. Well, you know, this stretch right here is going to be tough. I mean, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Miami, NC State, and Georgia.
Yeah. Well, if you look at just the way this Georgia Tech team is made up, and look, the defense – has got to be better, right? Last year, that was where they struggled the most. You know, I mentioned they bring in some new coaches, right? You bring in Santucci at DC. He's going to run that 4-2-5. They've made some moves through the portal. Offensively, though, I mean, you really just got to replace, I think, your right guard. You return everybody up front. Brent Key is an offensive line guy, right? They have a legendary coach at offensive line there. You return your weapons around Haynes King, who, guys, and we've said this multiple times on this show, Haynes King and Graham Mertz last year were the quarterbacks that surprised me the most, and they did it in different ways. I thought Graham Mertz protected the ball, had a little bit of a stronger arm than what I had seen at Wisconsin, and playing in the SEC, it tends to show your weaknesses more than it shows your strengths. But, guys, Haynes King is another young guy that really blossomed, right? We knew he could run what we saw at A&M, but being in this offense, being in this system, being at a new place at Georgia Tech, it just feels like he's really come into his own and kind of turned into what a lot of people thought he was going to be at Texas A&M. And Georgia Tech's coming off a year where they built a ton of confidence, right? They turned the page and started having success. You know, I know the Miami game, the way that ended with him not taking a knee was crazy. But Georgia Tech did win that game. And if you're Brent Key and you're this team, you got a chance to go do something special against Florida State in a different country to really, really catapult you into the year. So that's why I thought it was so fascinating that we had these three teams on day one of ACC Media Days, not because two of them play each other week one, which you don't really see in a lot of conference games, but that you have two of the biggest sleepers in the conference in Georgia Tech and SMU, two teams that I think are very capable of doing some very big things this year going on day one. So that's why, again, you know, we can talk about the ACC may collapse and they might, but we know what happened in the Pac-12s last year. Hell, they had a renaissance. It was one of the best years football wise from a top to bottom standpoint. I think the ACC could have some very interesting teams that really either become a better version of themselves and are thrust into the spotlight, or at worst are a fly in the ointment that causes more carnage and chaos and could end up hurting the ACC when it comes down to trying to get multiple bids in the 12-team playoff.
I'll say this quickly before you go, David. That game against Notre Dame is at Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta.
The game is it's in Mercedes-Benz.
That's what I was going to say. I just think it's funny how Notre Dame keeps popping up in all these ACC schedules, right? When we were talking about that at the beginning, but yeah, in the Georgia Dome. So it will be in Atlanta, but not necessarily a home game for Georgia Tech. But hey, again, that's a great opportunity. If you're Georgia Tech and you get to play Notre Dame in your home state, I mean, that's an awesome opportunity to play them in football.
I don't know if there's been a more exciting time to be a Georgia Tech fan than going into 2024. Outside of the Paul Johnson, years or, when they had Calvin Johnson and, you remember Reggie Ball a little bit. But I don't know if there's been a more exciting time to be a Georgia Tech fan than this year. And good for them. I think it's fantastic.
Bullish. I'm extremely bullish on Georgia Tech for one reason. Like, you're seeing improvement every year. You're seeing they went 7-6 this year. I believe they won 5 games last year, three games a year before that. And the way they played at the end of the season, I thought the best football. They peaked at the end of the season. You go back to that Georgia game, hell, I'm pretty sure they lost to Georgia by a touchdown. Like, that game was close throughout four quarters. And if they fix the defense, you bring a physical element. This isn't a triple option Georgia Tech anymore. Those days are over. This is legitimate offense. It's a legitimate football team. This schedule is tough, obviously. I know that. But I think this team could sneak up on a lot of people and ruin a lot of people's season.
Well, Brent Keyes built that thing from the ground up. And starting anything from the ground up, all right, can be tough, especially going in year two. But especially when it comes to running an online storefront, guys. But with Shopify, they make it easier than ever. They can be your Brent Key. They can be your Haynes King, right? What is Shopify? Well, it's a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Congratulations on that, by the way. Shopify is there to help you grow. Our marketing team uses Shopify every day to sell our merch. Go buy some. Go check it out on the Daily Wire website. And it's so easy to add more items, and it takes something off your plate. Right, as an owner or as a CEO or as somebody that even starting a podcast, I've had people reach out to me. Hey, what are some tools I can have to help me, in some of these areas that while I'm worried about the content, they can handle. Well, that's what Shopify does. They help you turn browsers into buyers. They have the best converting checkout rate of up to 36% better than other leading e-commerce platforms. And no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/crane. That's shopify.com/crain. It's all lowercase. And when you go to shopify.com/crane, you will start growing your business no matter what stage you're in. You hear that cha-ching noise, which we typically have on the soundboard when we're all in the studio.
Cha-ching.
Well, tomorrow, right? That means you just hit another order. shopify.com/crane. Check them out.
All right, let's get to the chat. Let's go to Repub 1380. Says, am I crazy right now if I can find the odds to scratch a little bit for Haynes King to win the Heisman?
Maybe. Look, the Heisman, that's asking a lot. I think that would be close to just throwing your money out the window. Maybe ACC Player of the Year. Maybe you sprinkle some of that on Georgia Tech to win the ACC. Maybe you sprinkle some of that on Georgia Tech or SMU to win the ACC. I think that would be a better bet. I like Haynes King. I like his development, but I don't think he's to the point and really, has the capability with what's going to go on during the year to be able to compete with some of these guys at these other places.
Yeah, take that money you're going to spend on Haynes King to win the Heisman and either get your girl something nice or just send it directly to me in an envelope. I'll save it for you.
Send it to Cone. He'll get your girl something nice.
I'll invest it for you.
All right, let's go to I Have Guns. It's a hell of a nickname, brother. I appreciate it. He says, how much do you trust Georgia Tech's defense this year? Right now, to me, they're slated in the bottom half of the ACC.
That's the biggest question. But that's where they made the changes, right? So, again, going to that 4-2-5 with Santucci, I think they made four different new position coach hires. I think some of the additions that they've added through the portal should help them out. I don't think anybody's expecting Georgia Tech to be an elite defense? Can they improve enough on defense to just be good and let that offense continue to ascend? It's going to be an offensive-driven team. And listen, you don't have to lead the world in yards given up per game. You know what I'd rather you be good at? In the red zone, forcing turnovers, penalty margin between the other team. Those are kind of some ways, because again, look, offensive coordinators don't get paid to move the ball in between the 20s. They don't get paid to kick field goals. They get paid to score touchdowns. And on the opposite end of that, DCs, if I can hold you to a field goal 90% of the time during a game, there's a good chance with this type of offense, at least with what we saw from Haynes King and this group up front last year, where you'll be at least, at worst, you're in the game with a chance to win in the fourth quarter in some of these big games, which if you're Georgia Tech, that's all you can ask for right now. One more, Blaine, and then we're going to get to rapid fire.
Okay, quickly, let's go to Drunk Engineer. Drunk Engineer, what's up, brother? You're definitely a Georgia Tech fan. I'm pretty sure this sounds popular, but I remember it in my head. Right now, where would you place Georgia Tech at the end of the year in the ACC?
We're going to sit down and go through the schedules, you know, and fill out our little notebooks, you know, right after fall camp ends, as we get ready to launch into the regular season, you're going to get our final prediction. But when I hear that schedule, I would not be shocked if Georgia Tech finishes in the top four, top five of the ACC this year. I don't think they're going to be a bottom half team. I think they're going to, you know, be a little bit better on defense and then offensively continue that growth that I mentioned. I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up in Atlanta and not because the school's based out of there.
Okay, quickly, I want us to win the water cooler. This is a definition of it. Llama wants to know, why do you prefer the 4-2-5 versus a 3-3-5 stack?
Well, I always like four down, right? Even some three downs become four downs, and not that you can't turn it into four down out of the 3-3-5 stack. The reason I like the 4-2-5 mainly is you got to have a nickel, right? That can play it. That can be decent against the run, decent against the pass. I just feel like it gives you more options, not from a blitzing standpoint or an exotic standpoint. You get more of that out of the 3-3-5. But I like being able to go line up in the solids and the unders and the overs and the evens. I think you can get a lot of the exotic blitzes out of the 4-2-5 and the personnel, I think, behooves more of the style of offense you're going to play the most. Right, which today there's a lot more throwing than there was in the past. But again, I just think it gives you the best of everything. Right, you get the four down up front. You can get the intermediate guys and intermingle them. And instead of having to find that nose that is just an absolute dog and having to two gap a lot of the things, you just really got to find that nickel that can be that matchup that's not going to be, you know, hugely deficient in the run or the pass game. That's why I like it. And that was the one I chose as DC, so that's why.
All right, Dave, you want to do this rapid fire, big dog?
Yeah, let's do it. First one up. It sounds like former Michigan staffer Connor Stallions is getting his own documentary on Netflix. So you guys just think about that for 1 second, okay? This thing's going to be called Sign Stealer. I come from a filmmaking background. Okay, I know how difficult it is to make documentaries and to shoot them, edit them, put them together. We're going to get a Connor Stallions documentary on Netflix before we really get any official word from the NCAA on what actually happened. So you just think about that a little bit. But Jake, you tweeted at me and said how angry I was going to be. I have no idea why you would say something. Heroes deserve documentaries, and this hero is getting one. Okay?
I just find it funny that, and I get it, right? I get it. Why you would make a documentary about Connor Stallions before you even did any type of documentary about the Michigan team or even Jim Harbaugh. Like, it's just funny to me that when you look at all the headlines, what floats to the top, Netflix was like, yeah, let's get the Sign Stealer guy. I think depending on who you're a fan of, obviously, if you're an Ohio State fan, you're going to think it's tainted, which I don't think it's tainted. I'm a fan of neither Michigan or Ohio State. I'm just a fan of good ball, and hopefully Auburn can figure it out. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be interesting. But to your point, David, like this would be like a documentary about Donald Trump, the Donald Trump assassination attempt, before anybody at the Secret Service even told us what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. This is just before the report's even out, we're getting a Netflix documentary. And I don't think it's going to be like Swamp Kings, because there isn't enough material. Like that whole Florida team was littered with like stories of people. This is one guy who, and I know what they thought. I know if this, before this Connor Stallion thing's ever happened, David, if they would have gone to the NCAA and been like, hey, you know, maybe we need to put this official rule in here because this person would go through all this work. They'd be like, look, we know these guys break down film. We know they do a lot of scouting. No way somebody, one specific person, is going to take the time to compile all of this and use all these resources to go to these different games and do it. I just think he worked so hard and so meticulous that they didn't even build a rule in because of it. Like, and I mean,
I got a couple questions. You know, the first one's
hit
at
me.
UW.
Hit me with them, Blaine.
The first one's at you, David. Was that Connor Stallions on the Central Michigan sidelines?
When I went to Ann Arbor last month, I asked that same question. I have been told that it's very likely that was Connor Stallions.
But
I asked this. I asked the question, okay, under Jim Harbaugh's instruction, and they laughed and said, absolutely not. They said if Jim Harbaugh knew that Connor Stallions was going to games when he wasn't supposed to in a disguise, he would have fired him before you ever heard about what his name was. That's coming from inside the building, which that brings me to a more important point on this documentary, the title Sign Stealer, right?
Yeah.
It's not advanced scouting. That's not this whole
advanced
thing.
Scouting.
It's just like the initial report we got from Pete Thamel, right? Hey, sign stealer. And then seven paragraphs down. Oh, by the way, breaking down film on opponent signals is not technically against the rules. You can't go watch them play in person. So here we go again. We're gonna call the documentary sign stealer.
That was gonna be my other question. How does Netflix, how do they paint the narrative here?
What we saw was it said on 3 posted, it said Connor Stallions gets to tell his version of the story in the documentary. So obviously it's going to be completely unbiased.
Show all sides of it. I think they'll, you know, try and get every demographic possible, the people that hated it, the people that loved it, and then try and inform the people that didn't know anything about it. But golly, the title Sign Stealer, that's like having a title bank robber when you realize that the guy just embezzled money because he worked at the bank and he did it in a way that like wasn't even illegal. Like he was able to do it, but they just call him bank robber. You think he's John Dillinger and turns out he's really just, you know, John Johnson, you know, CFO.
Well, the last thing I'll say about before we move on, if you are a Michigan fan, as frustrating as it was to watch Jim Harbaugh be suspended by the conference for a rule that wasn't a conference rule, but for an NCAA rule on the three most important games of the season and against your biggest rival, as frustrating as that was, looking back now that you have won the national championship, it sort of is even more validating and more rewarding because now you're looking at it saying, oh, it's almost like a double jeopardy situation. Oh, the NCAA wanted him to be suspended so badly. They had the conference do it. They still won all those games and won the national championship. So miss me with any, you know, NCAA sanctions coming down now that you've already had our coach suspended.
David, and to me, now that I look back on it and the day that we sit, I think they did y'all a favor. I think they did y'all a favor because they gave y'all's next coach the best on-the-job experience possible. Mm. Now, looking back, you guys went undefeated. You won it, right? You won every game. All they did was give Coach Moore some true, best, real-life, real-world experience. Oh, no, the manager at the bank, he's got COVID, or he got suspended by the SEC for some bullshit. All right, Derek, you got to be the manager for the day at the bank, and then all of a sudden – you know, the manager gets moved up even higher up in corporate. Now, Derek, hell, he ran it during Thanksgiving. He ran it when the debit cards were all screwed up. Like, I think they
we'll
helped
see.
A lot.
Big
I think
shout
it was,
out. Hey, the big shout out to the NCAA being four steps ahead on this one.
I know. They're playing 5D chess.
Like, why do an investigation when you know
always.
You can just watch the doc.
And y'all got a Netflix deal? Connor Stallion's the biggest winner out of all this.
I don't read the script. Script reads me.
Yeah, script reads me.
So script the NCAA is letting Netflix do all the work. They're like, why would we spend money to investigate? We can let Netflix do it.
You are talking
Connor Stallions, the biggest winner. All he did was hide at a Central Michigan game and have fun coming up with stealing signs. Now he's a hero. He's a toast of the town. All the rivals hate him. And Netflix is like, hey, dog, let's do a document.
He's Michigan's Robin Hood, dude. I'm telling you, he's Michigan's Robin Hood.
Robin from the rich. All right, let's get to the next one. Jordan Love apparently will not continue practicing without a new deal from the Packers. Yeah. So he was set to earn $11 million after that mini extension that he got last May. 4,100 yards a season ago, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. All of us were talking about what a breakout year it was for him in the first year for the Packers post Aaron Rodgers. Is he really set to join the $50 million a year club here, though, or is that too much?
David, quarterbacks aren't getting paid less. They're getting paid more. Who knows? 10 years from now, they'll be making $1 billion a quarterback. Like, it's the greatest business of all time. It's like being a coach, like with the buyout. Like, you're set either way just because you're in the market. Here's what I'll say to the people, and I haven't seen anybody really on ESPN because I don't really watch it, comment on this, but there'll be people that'll be like, oh, man, you get to play quarterback. You ought to show up to work every day and just be thankful you're getting paid what you get paid. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that if I had just shown proof of concept right last year and everybody, and I had shown myself to be what a lot of people thought, you know, that I could be, and I had the leverage. If I don't have a deal, I'm not showing up, right? I'm not showing up to go to these meetings or any of this stuff. If I don't feel like I'm getting paid and I've at least to this point, right, earned this feeling. I am the new leader of the franchise. I'm the guy that took over for Aaron Rodgers and everybody freaked out, but I showed last year the capability to do it. I don't care if you're a quarterback for the Packers. I don't care if you work at an ice cream cone stand or you cut the mink jackets for people. At the end of the day, if you don't have a deal in place that you feel like is worth what you're worth and you've shown proof of concept, I don't blame him for this at all. I think most Americans and most people in general would do the exact same thing if they had the leverage. I don't blame them.
Blaine, what's his new contract going to be?
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, you know, every NFL team overpays quarterbacks regardless. I wouldn't be surprised if his contract's anywhere from 55 mil, 58 mil. I wouldn't be surprised if he breaks a record, to be honest.
Really?
He's got
after 1 year of sample size?
I'm not saying
can we get at least 2 years?
I think it's a terrible decision.
Am I crazy for us getting at least two years sample size?
The Packers will get hosed if they sign this guy for 55 mil. I don't believe in him. You still got to look. Are you over?
But you believe in Trevor Lawrence? But you believe in Trevor Lawrence?
Jags, dog. I have
like
to
you believe in Trevor. I don't know how those two things.
I don't have a choice, Jake. Time. I don't have a choice to put Trevor Etienne at quarterback. We don't have much. Okay.
I don't know. Did you see last year's draft class?
Yeah, but
you know what? With Blaine, there is absolutely no logic in how he picks his favorite teams. But once he gets them, he is loyal, man. He is viciously loyal to those random teams.
Let's see if the Jags see it in him like the Yankees did.
Corey sent me a bunch of Jags stuff. Look, I'm all about the fans. I'm a man of the people. Y'all know this. But no, 55 mil, I wouldn't be surprised. He's got the Packers in handcuffs, brother. They ain't got nothing else. Who they going to go? What's your backup? Like Michael Pratt? Or is it
hey, man, there'll be no Michael Pratt slander.
I'm sorry. There's not a guy back there. Jordan Love has you handcuffed, and they will pay him. They don't have a choice.
He's got you handcuffed because he was the hot chick you brought home from the bar. Like, of course. Like, that's the one you wanted. And guess what?
There's a difference.
Turns out, when she walked into the light, she was just as hot as you thought she was. That's what proof of concept does. Now, can he recreate that? Blaine, you may not be wrong. He may not be worth $55 million. I don't know too many people that are worth $55 million, if we're going to be honest. And I don't know if Jordan Love's one of them. But he showed you anointed him, right? And the Packers got a great track record of getting new quarterbacks, bud. Just go down the list. These people are – this organization is owned by the people, and they make a lot of good-ass decisions when it comes to this. So, again, the market is what the market is, man.
I'll say this before I let you go, David, and I might get killed for this a couple of years later, but I think – and I've said this before in the show. I think Jordan Love is a girlfriend, not a wife.
Okay. Okay. When you're 45 years old and sitting watching other people play with their kids and hang out with their family, and you're playing, Elden Ring, eating a bunch of Cheetos, kids, naked on a beanbag chair.
Checked up, brother. You got some problems. Well, I'm surprised you made it to 45.
Sam Hartman just got drafted by the Birmingham Stallions. Okay, so maybe I heard he'll take the Packers job for half the money.
No, I don't want to see Sam Hartman be successful. I'm sorry.
Hey, look, that man.
I just don't want like Sam. Great guy,
he's so
dude.
Good looking. Hey, great you remember guy. The Senior
You're
Bowl?
You're too good looking to be good at football. I'm sorry.
Do you remember when we were at the Senior Bowl? And Blaine was asking the players, like, "Hey, is Sam Hartman better looking?"
I definitely remember that.
Just every time he walked in a room, he'd flip his hair. Doves would come out.
He'll
Dion would start playing. Like it was
this
just like,
man.
Oh.
This man doesn't need football. He doesn't need football.
No.
He could be – I mean, he looks like every guy I've ever seen on a Just for Men gel commercial. He could be in every Head and Shoulders commercial. This man doesn't need football.
Yeah.
Like, he can go to Birmingham.
Running down a beach behind
a
Jeep.
Go have fun in Birmingham.
A Jeep with a little golden retriever running behind him for some commercial about a keto diet.
That's a pretty picture. A pretty picture. Thank you for that. All right, that's it for rapid fire.
I do want to give a shout out though to Xander Schauffele real quick, winning his second major. Oh boy, was on fire on the back nine, and it just looked miserable out there at the British Open. It looked absolutely miserable.
Did you see the guy quit mid round?
I don't blame him.
He quit mid round. He's like, no, I'm out.
Like that looked so miserable, dude. But I mean, Xander, I mean, he damn near shot 30 on the back. On Sunday, he was making birdies, and nobody could make birdies.
Second major of the year, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll through these donations real quick since we are running out of time. I'm going to $10 donation from Q-Smo Jimbo. I can honestly say that I'm highly skeptical of the future of the ACC. If you're a college program in the Northeast, for example, I don't see how you don't make a huge push to join the Big Ten. Go to Cerberus with the $2 donation. Shout out Smite, man. I love it. Insert good super chat message here. Jake, say something positive.
Look, man, I love being alive.
Oh, that was good. Random, but good. I'll take it. All right, let's go to a $5 donation from Noah Chant. What's up, Noah? LSU shocks the world this year and wins a natty over Ohio State.
You know why I love our audience? Because we could be like, hey, guys, today we're talking about Boston College and Wake Forest, and somebody from LSU is going to come in here and be like, guys, everybody just shut up. Garrett Nussmeier for Heisman.
You
That's
won't
why
believe
I
what
nuts
just happened.
We are.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation from David's favorite. That's a humping badger. Jake is talking about the ACC to distract from the fact that Wisconsin is going to beat Michigan's ass this year. Hashtag jump around. Hashtag David Cohn.
Whatever the under
hashtag
is,
David
I'll take
Cohn
it.
Has too much hair gel.
How many times can we run power like in that game? How many times between Luke Fickell and the way that Terrell Moore wants to run that offense? How many times can we get a gap scheme run? Yeah. You want a fun drinking game? If you know the difference between a zone run and a gap run, every time there's a gap scheme running play in that game, take a shot. You won't make it to halftime.
They're going to send audio of that game to China.
Yeah.
Right, let's go to a $10 donation from David. Appreciate it, David. To that Tennessee fan who called in last week to talk smack, I just have a little nugget for you. We've had 5 losing seasons this century. In that time frame, we're still 4-1 against you. We own you always. Hashtag 10 toes down. All right, let's go to a $5 donation from Ryan Gay. 39 days, 19 hours, 25 minutes till Matt Neath kicks some cougar ass. Kicks some knit and liney ass. Hashtag country roads. They will play Penn State week one. Last donation of the day, $10 donation from Brock McNeil. Appreciate it, Brock. Not so breaking news. ESPN is trash. How do you rank the top 100 athletes of the 2000s and have AJ Wilson ahead of Aaron Rodgers, Simone Biles over Kobe?
That's
Woods, Bolt, and Breeze don't even sniff the list.
Yeah, that's because they're not trying to make the best list. They're trying to kiss the most ass. There's a big difference.
We might have to make our own list now, boys.
100 player. They're all dudes. Like, I'm sorry. It's all dudes. Like, are we like, again, if we're going to Hunger Games this thing, like, who makes it the
longest?
Look,
I don't know if you've seen Lady Ballers, but we got snubbed. All right. I think we should be in that top 100. All right. Let's get to the poll. Y'all ready for it?
Yeah. Yep.
Will the ACC survive the next 3 years?
I'm going to say they said no, 72%. We have smart audience.
Yes, 51%.
Yes, 38%. No, 62%.
62. All right, to everybody. Yeah, everybody, we're going to be back in the studio taking live calls tomorrow. We appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure you hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. It helps us out. Keep sharing the show. David Blaine, y'all got anything before we wrap up and get up out here?
David Blaine's here? Where?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh, right. God. He's no, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. See you guys.
All right. We appreciate y'all. And like the chances of Connor Stallions being technically a sign stealer, we're going gone.